I was an older student by the time I went to university, where the rest of them were no more than 20 years old. One day, a young student was wearing a T-shirt with an image from one of the record albums from the Beatles, the most famous 60s and 70s pop music group. And of course, they were my favorite band as a teenager. So I told her that I had gone to a Beatles concert at Maple Leaf Gardens back in the day. And I thought the response might be, "Boy, are you old." But instead, her look of awe was quite noticeable. "You were there? What was it like?" She was a fan, and she wanted to know everything about it from someone who had actually been there in person. Well, having the Apostle John in your community, like they had at Ephesus, was like that, only much more important. It beats being at a Beatles concert, because John didn't just go to a Jesus concert. He spent 3 years and hundreds of hours listening to the words from Jesus' own lips, watching him heal people, lift people up from the depths of despair while putting the proud and arrogant in their place. John was sitting right next to him at the Last Supper. He's the one who asked the question, "Lord, who is it who is going to betray you?" It was about 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. All the other apostles had been martyred, killed for their faith in Jesus. But there was John, still alive. Can you imagine? The church at Ephesus in modern-day Turkey was a very exciting place. It was alive with the love and worship of the Lord of hosts, the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Savior. But no one there had ever met Jesus in the flesh except John, the youngest of the apostles. And they had him as their bishop. And until she died, Mary was right there too, because Jesus had asked John from the cross to take care, for him to take care of his mother. What a church that must have been. Even more exciting than St. Peter's, if you can imagine. They would have heard from John's own lips what we read over and over again in John's letters and in today's gospel passage. "My little children, love one another." He had never forgotten what Jesus said before he was to go to his own death. Oh, he would have told them other things, like how they were out on the water when a storm came up, and how those brave grown men were literally crying with fear that they were going to die, but Jesus saved them. He would have told them about how bread and fish to feed 5,000 people somehow came from one small boy's lunch after Jesus blessed it. But as John got older, the things he said about Jesus probably got more and more simple and more focused on what was most important. Who knows? As he got older, maybe John was experiencing dementia. Maybe he started to forget where he put his wallet or the keys to his chariot. I don't know if he had a chariot. Maybe he didn't. But he never forgot what Jesus had said near the end of his life, and he repeated it often. "Little children, love one another as I have loved you." Now, at this point, we need to remind ourselves that love for Jesus and for John is not an emotion. It's not a sentiment or a personal attraction. "I love ice cream." It's a practical, dynamic, and demanding thing. It takes the willingness to sacrifice for someone. Jesus himself, of course, is the revelation of God's love in his ministry and in his death. "No one takes my life from me," he said. "I lay down my life for my friends." Now, going back to the church at Ephesus, there was a dark cloud hanging over all the Christian churches at the time after Jesus' life. And that was because of the Roman emperor's order to persecute the church. There was a kind of ban on Christian worship. However, the governor at Ephesus just wanted peace, and he was not enforcing that law. So the church there was thriving. But then a new governor came to Ephesus, and he decided to enforce the requirement that everyone should make some sign of worship to the emperor. And he knew that the Christians wouldn't do it because they believed that this Jesus Christ was the real Son of God, not the emperor. So the soldiers marched into the church one Sunday, hauled the priests out, killed them with the swords in front of everyone. And then they said to everyone else, worship Caesar or lose everything you have. There is a legend that they tried to kill John by dropping him into boiling oil, but he miraculously was protected. What we do know for sure is that they sent him to the prison island called Patmos. And that was the version of their version of Alcatraz. There, an old man named John, the last of the original apostles to Jesus, was made to do hard labor under the hot sun. Can you imagine how sad he must have been? He just saw his beloved Christian church at Ephesus, where he had brought Jesus' mother, destroyed, and the priests killed. I'm guessing that it would be reasonable to think of him as getting pretty sad, maybe even severely depressed. Was this the end of the church? Was there never to be a Sunday Eucharist ever again? God's answer was to show John what was going to happen. He gave him a vision right into heaven. He showed him that there was no need to be sad or afraid because good would win out over evil, and it wouldn't even be close. God told him to write it all down so people would know that no matter what happens on earth, no matter how bad things look at times, God will accomplish his plan to save us from our sin, from the sin of the world, no matter how hard things sometimes are right now. That's also what kept St. Paul going. He suffered many trials, it tells us. He walked many thousands of kilometers. He probably wore out a few Fitbit watches walking through the Roman Empire to tell people about this Jesus who had conquered death by his death and resurrection, and that believing in him would transform his followers from people who felt defeated by the trials of life into a people who would be filled with joy, just knowing that God had a plan for them, that their lives are full of purpose and meaning. It isn't easy to hear today what Paul told them in his day. It is by your persecutions, he says, and your trials, that you are going to enter the kingdom of heaven, where every tear will be wiped away. There was a great need for strength and encouragement where Paul was, just as there was where John was. But Paul knew what we need to know, that our suffering is not wasted if we turn it over to God. It's not by ease that we enter the kingdom of God. It's by trials. That's not a message that I would come up with, but that's the way it works. And you know, today people think that if there is a heaven, it will be so boring sitting around singing the same old hymns, not the beautiful hymns that the choir has sung this evening, but that in hell there's a party going on all the time. I'm here to assure you today that nothing could be further from the truth. It's one of the biggest lies of all. In hell, there are only those who have rejected the ideas, the whole idea of loving one another. You realize what that means? No one you can trust. No one who gives a darn about anyone. No one who would be willing to sacrifice anything for love. John was given a vision into heaven where the saints and angels, all the heavenly host, are singing for joy. They can't help themselves. They are in the continuous presence of the Lamb of God. They know that they have been made free and that they are so full of joy that they want to be praising God all the time. So now we might ask ourselves today, is there joy in my life? Perhaps circumstances have conspired against you. Perhaps there's been times where relationships have not worked out. Perhaps you've suffered a great loss. Sooner or later, we all do. Perhaps you don't even know why you have a vague emptiness or longing within you. But Jesus declares, and we hear it loud and clear today, "Behold, I make all things new." In fact, he is in the process at this very moment of making all things new, even in the circumstances of our lives, if we will let him. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. He will bring to us the joy of the saints in heaven so that we may have that vision that John had, the vision that he wrote down, that he intended, that was intended for all time to be read. I will wipe every tear from your eyes.